The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to another edition of The Ride Home with John and Kathy, live from the Salem-Pittsburgh studios. And now here are your hosts, John Hall and Kathy Emmons.
Dig it. We got a show for you today. Oh, yes, we do. Thanks to everybody who's part of our Bible League campaign. We're doing a real show, which is fabulous. Kath, good to see you. I just want to say two things.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, John.
Very nice. Actually, it's
Thank
one thing, but
so
it's two words.
Much.
Happy birthday
I've
to you.
I very much appreciate it. It's been a super fun day.
Oh, my gosh. We had lunch today.
We sure did. We had a party.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Today is your birthday.
And Kathy Emmons.
Wow. Many more. It's like local ad-lib.
Today, Kathy Emmons.
It's a special day. It's not Chris Jameson, it's John Hall.
Oh, it's very nice.
I always get them confused.
Yeah, of course.
Me too.
Happy birthday. We are sitting in studio with the remnants of your birthday cake.
Yeah, we have a Prantl's Burnt Almond Tort, which was so wonderfully provided by New Mike and John.
Very nice, yes. Mike. New Mike.
And we did not eat it all.
No.
You know why? You can't have that much of it.
It's
rich. You have to just appreciate the small piece. You can't dive in like whole hog.
Right.
And we've got two knives and a third of a cake.
Yeah. It's very, very good. You can take that home? Will you have some tonight? It's your birthday.
Yeah, but I don't know if I can have it twice in a day.
What? It's your birthday.
Oh, yeah, you can.
Keep in mind, I had biscotti for breakfast.
Oh, did you?
And this is the person who really hasn't eaten much sugar over the last year.
Oh, so you're flying right now?
Jeez. All of a sudden, right now I'm starting to feel, I feel really good, but slightly sick.
Want a Coke? Come on, get you a Coke.
I do not need a Coke.
I had a Coke for lunch. Hey, where'd you
get
that?
Caffeine?
Mike's got that coffee there.
Where'd you get that?
I made it.
Oh.
Out of my French press.
Listen to him.
That's not your French press, is
it's
it?
It's my French press, by the way.
That's stainless steel thing.
Oh, that's Gary's. I have my own, though.
What?
Yeah, with Guatemalan
You're the only
coffee.
One. You don't have anything.
I don't know French press. Huh?
You
can borrow mine.
I got a Blonox squash.
That's different.
But not a French press. No.
Hey, thanks, you guys. Appreciate
happy
that.
Birthday
super.
To you.
It was
happy birthday.
Very fun. Pretty we'll nice. Post a photo if I can get my act together.
Oh, do we have a photo?
Lynn took photos for us.
Okay.
But in the news, someone else happy today besides me.
Who's that?
I think it would be Donald Trump.
Wait, what's going on?
And I mean the senior and not the junior, because according to a new Zogby poll, President Trump is crushing it.
Really?
His job approval has climbed over 50%.
Mm-hmm.
It's at 51. It's the highest of his tenure as president. It's higher than Barack Obama's was at the same time in his presidency.
No kidding.
Yeah, so Obama was at 48. President Trump is at 51.
Whoa, congratulations. Has the president tweeted that?
Well, most likely yes,
yeah.
But though I have not paid attention. But listen to this. Some of these subset numbers are really going to surprise you, I think.
Okay.
The majority of millennials age 18 to 29 approve of the president.
What?
Listen to this. He's at 51% in the 18 to 29 age group.
How can that be?
So they're not all socialists.
No, they're not.
I
How about
can't
that?
Believe that.
It is amazing.
Whose poll?
This is Zogby.
Really?
Okay. The age group 25 to 34,
mm-hmm.
he's at 53%.
Holy
25
moly.
To 34. And even more of those age 35 to 54, he's at 59%. He's at
Correct.
59% for Americans age 35 to 54.
Whoa. We live in some interesting times,
now,
do we?
Mike brought up a very interesting point. I think I said the word interesting too many times.
I said it.
He brought up a very good
then
point.
Then I pass it on to you.
Great point, even, let me say. Which is that all we hear as far as news reports, headlines, social media, is that the loudest voices, especially on the left, are also the most popular viewpoints in America.
Always.
If you compare what we hear as far as loudness on a daily basis to these numbers, the loudness is not convincing people. It's just not. So the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the whole Green New Deal movement, the represent Ilhan Omar, all of this is not convincing the majority of Americans.
Okay, so is this then the repeat narrative of what happened during the 2016 election.
Definitely.
The people were asked who you were going to vote for, and they were a little leery or fearful or ashamed maybe to say they were voting for President Trump, for Donald Trump for president. And now, maybe as the pollsters come along, we're seeing the same response.
Correct.
Thank you so much.
And in large part, the reason for people supporting Donald Trump in the presidential cycle was because they didn't like Hillary. Mm. So I wonder if these numbers now are in response to the loudest, youngest Democrats, people saying, well, I don't know how I feel about Trump, but I know for one thing, I don't trust them.
Hmm. Well,
I don't know.
Maybe so. I mean, how many different people now are running on the Democratic side for president?
Well,
see, today Bill de Blasio just threw his
hat. As far as people who have registered,
right,
are you ready?
How many?
251.
What? I only have heard of Bernie, Elizabeth Warren.
Cory Booker.
Right, okay.
Cory Booker.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Bill de Blasio.
And yeah.
Kamala Harris.
Yep.
Really?
You heard of Pete Buttigieg, right?
Oh, yeah. Sure. Mayor Pete.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yep. Beto O'Rourke.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the guy that flaps his arms around?
Beto O'Rourke.
Yeah. Yeah, is that him?
Mm-hmm. Who's the guy? That guy.
Yeah.
You've 251? What do you mean?
Filed papers. You have to file papers. I want to run for president.
Wow.
But you can only get on the stage at either a debate or at the convention if you have over a certain number of people who will vote
signed
for you.
Your petition.
Yes, who've actually signed your petition.
Really?
So not all these people have enough.
Right, right.
But there are, I think there's 26 or something that have enough signatures to be
on
the
gosh.
Stage.
Remember in 2016 or 2015, we thought there were too many people on the podium.
For the Republican side, and there were like 12.
Yeah. Now this time,
there
it'll be like
more
45
than,
or 251.
I just feel like they're shooting themselves in the foot when if there's so many of them in the hat.
It's still far away, right? Look,
it is
it's still
far,
far, far, far away. This time next year, things will clarify.
Okay, let me get back to numbers, though, on the president. Zogby wrote this today, quote, President Trump's job approval rating has seen a post-Mueller report boost.
Really? Because what he said all along, it's nothing here. Let's keep on moving forward.
Right. So what do you think that is? Do you think it's just the fact that he's been saying there's nothing, and so Mueller said there's nothing?
Yeah.
Except that Mueller said there was no collusion, but then he gave so many details about everything that went into the investigation that Democrats seized on those and said, wait a minute, there very well could be something, which is why we've got a Senate investigation going, we've got the House investigation going,
yeah, but
we've got all of that.
People were waiting for like this gigantic smoking gun, right? This major exclamation point, which never materialized. There may have been, 10, 20 other smaller things that are going on at one time. Of course, the Democrats are going to make a lot of that. But as far as, this one massive event, the president and Putin meeting together, collusion clearly is in play. Didn't happen.
What about the I'm sick of this factor?
I'll vote for that. That's me in there because I am sick of it. I think a lot of people are just worn down by it. You're exhausted by this.
So do you think that that's causing you to look more favorably upon the president when you see investigation after investigation?
No, I can't say that that's true. But I think, the Democrats have thrown so much at the wall, hoping something will stick. And it feels as though there's not a whole lot there. I mean, as far as criminal behavior and activity, which is what the Democrats were hoping for. Now, as far as, personal ethics, yada, yada, morality, the whole situation, that's a whole other story.
Trump's not doing as well in cities, but with suburban voters, 48% approve. And in rural counties, 60%.
Well, we talked about this at lunch today.
That.
I mean, it's true, though. We do live in a much more – I think our country is a conservative country.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I think it is a largely conservative country. But again, the loudest voices aren't.
Right. Well, the mainstream media, without a doubt, which is trying to convince everyone this is – this new path forward is the path we should continue on.
Okay. So now this is something that we just take for granted, but I want to ask you about it for sure. Do you think that the mainstream media is actually slanted left?
Yeah.
Without 100, question.
195%. Yes, of course, yes. There's no doubt about it.
Okay.
Don't
Correct.
You? Don't you believe that?
Well, for many years, I held out on that because
really?
I thought this is just a creation of conservatives to help.
No, I'm a conservative.
To help us to feel better, but it's not really. I have to say, since Trump became president, it has been so pronounced that I find it ridiculous. I find it laughable.
Look, the paper of record, the New York Times. Look at the headlines. Look,
mm-hmm.
Scroll through the New York Times.
Scroll through the Washington Post.
Right. I mean, the first 20 different articles are all anti-Trump.
Okay. So how much of that do you think figures in to the Zogby poll about people saying, you know what, I like the guy?
I don't think so. I do.
I think people read all that and they say, you know what? They just pile on and they pile on and they pile on. So I'm going to throw my support behind the guy.
I think a lot of people don't bother to read, whether it's the physical paper or online news anymore. I think that's a thing of the past. Mm-hmm. People are getting their information from, you know, rumor or friends of friends, things like
great.
That. Right? I think that's true. And so I think people's minds are made up about the president. And when you look at where we are, the economy to me is everything. When you look at where the economy is and those numbers, you can't refute those numbers. People are, by and large, are not doing bad. I mean, even the people at the bottom are doing a lot better than they were 6, 8,
right.
10, 12 years
ago. But what you said is not exact. Yes, you're right. And people are doing better economically. You can't argue with the numbers. But these numbers have changed over the last 3 months. He is doing better approval-wise since the Mueller report came out.
Maybe that was just the black cloud hanging over. People were just holding their breath, waiting to see what was going to happen. So now that they see what happened, there's nothing there. Okay. Let's keep on moving forward.
That's really surprisingly incredible numbers for the president today. 51% approval rating nationwide.
All right. That's good news. I'll take a break. Come back. We got a lot going on in today's show.
Yeah. We got celebrity birthdays. We got this day in history. We're going to talk Janet Jackson. We're going to talk the Academy Awards. We're going to talk surprising questions that Christians need to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Surprising questions need to be asked of Christians. And we're going to talk about how to heal the ethical divide.
Very nice. Straight ahead, though. Guy's Guide to 4 Battles That Every Young Man Must Face. If you got a young man in your life, stay tuned for that.
101.5 WORD.
In many parts of the world, China, Africa, India, Southeast Asia, people have never heard the name of Jesus. Even if they have, many lack the resources to learn about him. Word FM has teamed with the Bible League to send God's Word to the world. $5 will send a Bible now. $100 will send 20. Give now at wordfm.com, keyword Bibles, or call 1-800-YES-WORD.
Jen had a very busy day today. Really busy. First, she dropped her kids off at daycare.
Bye, Mom!
Then she had a few minutes before yoga class for a coffee.
Small latte, please.
And then she saved a few lives.
Nurse, 2 units, O negative.
One, an injured child. Another, a cardiac patient. And then, a premature baby. All because Jen logged on to bloodsciencefoundation.org and made a financial donation.
There, done.
You see, local blood donors provide only about half of what is needed to treat patients. The other half has to be purchased and relies on financial donations from people like you and Jen.
Ooh, cake pops.
So, what have you done today? To make a financial donation that saves lives, visit bloodsciencefoundation.org. Blood Science Foundation. Giving from the heart.
Hey, Pittsburgh, this is Tunch Ilkin from my friends at Calusi Chevrolet. If you've been thinking about a new car or truck, now is the time. This month, you could save 18% off the MSRP on select 2018 models still in stock. For example, the Chevy Cruze, Malibu, and Silverado all qualify. And you could buy with confidence knowing the team at Calusi has been serving Pittsburgh for over 100 years. Check them out at Calusi.com. Chevrolet. Find new roads at Calusi Chevrolet.
Dentistry, in my opinion, shouldn't be a fear-inducing experience. And it really, I think, goes a long way for patients when I'm able to develop that one-on-one relationship with them.
Exceptional dentistry meets compassionate care at StockFamilyDentistry.com.
Listen to your favorite Christian programs anytime on the OnePlace app. Download and listen offline. Stream to your car or automated home device. Download OnePlace at Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Things would happen in church that you weren't allowed to laugh.
Word FM presents
Funny Things Were Happening, and we had to pretend like it wasn't happening.
Ladies Night Out with writer, comedian, and playwright Sherry Lynn.
My sister got up and she mimed to a Yolanda Adams song, and it was beautiful.
It's a night out for the girls.
As she was miming and she was twirling, her wig came off.
June 21st at the Bible Chapel.
I have not seen the type of power or anointing that could make us forget your hairs on the floor.
Get early bird admission now through May 31st at wordfm.com.
If you've got a young man in your life, boy, it's rough out there. I'll tell you. Sex, the screens, drugs, social media, all that self-esteem issue. Holy smokes. I mean, to navigate through this, I got two boys. I've got a 21-year-old and a 19-year-old, and we're still talking and still trying to sort things out. And it feels good because the conversations, those lines are open. And I think to me, you know, as a dad, that's everything. Whenever I feel my son sort of shrink away, I think, wait. Let's keep on having this conversation. Jonathan McKee is with us. He is one of these guys who has deep conversations about young men in today's world. His latest work is called Guy's Guide to Four Battles That Every Young Man Must Face. Jonathan, welcome. How are you doing today?
Hey, thanks for having me on the show. Glad to be here.
Yeah, pleasure. Four battles here, Jonathan. Talk about this. You're interested in this. Obviously, you're a father. You've got guys in your life as well.
Longtime youth worker, father of three, a son and two daughters. And, man, it has never been more difficult to be a guy. I mean, there's so many distractions in the world. And, man, when you and I were growing up, there was distractions. I mean, there was pornography available, but the big difference is today we've got more accessibility and less accountability. So this is, man, we need to start talking about this stuff with our kids.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you bring up a great point. Whenever I was a young man, you had to work hard to go find a Playboy or something like that. Now, you know, your kid's got a phone and he's one click away of falling into something that's deep and dark and ugly. How do you talk to your son about pornography? Where are you on that? I mean, are you putting guards on the screen? Tell us that journey as you and your son talk.
No, great question, because it's one of those things where, it's obviously common. I mean, first exposure is usually around 12 years old. Barna did a recent study, and he actually even asked, you know, the people who were believers, people who were unbelievers, of committed Christian young men, age 13 through 23, 41% admitted that they on purpose seek out pornography at least once or twice a month. Man, this is affecting young people big time. And the thing that, like you said, it's like, what do? Do you just put blocks? Our typical reaction as parents is overreaction. It's like, oh man, what do we got to do? And so sometimes we try to tighten that grip really quick. And as important as boundaries are, and it's great to have some porn blocks and some filters to kind of, you know, try to, you know, weed out some of these distractions. But we have to talk about this, because no matter how many filters we have, I mean, our kids' friends can still walk right up to them with a phone in their hand and be like, hey, check this out, you know? Because we can't block our kids' friends' phones, I mean, and we don't probably have a drone flying over our kids' head that shoots laser beams at our kids' friends. Although,
we'll
that might be a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
So we need to just teach them the truth, because in a world so overflowing with lies, we need to help our kids, you know, recognize the lies. And one of the best ways to do that is by talking to them about truth. So, I mean, that's one of the things I do in the book is giving good information, not just telling them what to do, but saying, hey, here's some stuff we need to know. And talking about sexual temptation as it is. And it's funny how much that overlaps with screens, because so much of it is available just a click away.
Yeah.
And talking about what fleeing looks like. I mean, the Bible says the word flee. What's that look like? So having that conversation is good. I like to point it towards scripture, and there's some amazing scriptures. I mean, some of the ones that parents often skip, but Proverbs 5 has this amazing passage where actually, and I talk about it in a picture, if you talk with your son, I mean, you've got a 19-year-old, you said, 21-year-old.
That's right.
Talk with them about this. Here's a passage that says, that's talking to married guys and says, hey, married guys, enjoy your wife's breasts. That's what it says. And so your 19-year-old turn around and be like, okay, I'm there. I'm all right. That sounds good. You know?
Right.
But then it goes on and says, hey, but don't enjoy the breasts of these other women. And it talks about the fall. These are great discussions. We could ask our kids, we'll go, hey, where would that happen today? Where's a chance where we'd have a chance to look at other women? You know, and we can open up that dialogue, talk about that, and talk about what fleeing looks like. Awesome. We got to have these conversations.
That's really good. I mean, my 19-year-old and I were talking about this, and, you know, he kind of thinks that, you know, I'm sort of out of the loop. He said to me, hey, Dad, you're so far beyond this conversation because you should know that pornography is so part of everybody's life. I mean, and he brought up a good point. He said, you know, people talk about food porn or sports porn. That's become part of, you know, the vernacular of the English language in a way. It's mainstream now. And so if you're the guy who's not looking at porn, then you're the oddball out. There's something wrong with you.
Yeah, you know, it's fascinating when you look at that, because obviously in youth culture, and see, that's the thing about the screen. And when we're talking about these four battles, one of these battles is the screen, because we've got now young people, you know, 89% of 12 through 17-year-olds have a smartphone in their pocket. This is something that's really just emerged since 2012, is when America crossed the 50% mark for smartphone ownership. And so now we carry around this device with us that's, you know, our role models, everything right there in our pocket. We can have access and follow their Insta story. So we've kind of got ignorance in our pocket. We've got these people counseling us. We're now, you know, our boys care more about like what Post Malone and, you know, Kanye West think, you know, because that's the music they're listening to. And these guys are saying, hey, smoking weed's no big deal, you know, and girls are supposed to be, you know, like, you know, voluptuous and naked. And so, yeah, I mean, these are the messages we're hearing all the time. And this is why we got to be talking with them about truth. And it's amazing how, when you really look into research, and one of the things I try to do is unveil, not just here's what the Bible says, but unveil some truth. And I actually quoted, like, Time Magazine had a cover article a little while ago on pornography with fascinating research about a bunch of young men who, you know, thought porn was no big deal, and it's to the point where now they can't even, and I'll use the words loosely, perform in their normal relationships because they're so used to what's going on the screen that their body's just not functioning. And this was a fascinating article that basically, and it was amazing, because here's a secular, you know, magazine where the point of the article was pretty much, hey, a bunch of young men are having to wean themselves off porn because they're also in their relationships that matter aren't functioning now because porn is ruining it for them.
Holy smokes.
So I love to point to these kind of true stories, and it's amazing because it's like, hey, this is biblical, man.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
Yeah. The secular world is catching up and going, yeah, there's a lot of truth and a lot of wisdom here. Hey, we're talking right now with Jonathan McKee. His new work is called God's Guide to Four Battles That Every Young Man Must Face. Jonathan, you were talking about weed. Okay, so guys watching porn, that's, you know, just expected. That's what most guys are doing. Now with the decriminalization of marijuana, I mean, you know, we got something the other day, you know, in a corporate thing. Hey, people are smelling marijuana around different workplaces, so you should know that it's still illegal and, you know, we're not going to put up with this. Not that, you know, not that it's happened here in the studios or Word FM, but, you know, in the greater office complex we work in. And so no matter where you go, you're out at the movies or you're at a restaurant, you smell the stench of weed everywhere. It has come upon us in a lightning flash. And so young guys, 12, 13, 16, easy access. It's available. And for a lot of places, it's legal. I mean, holy smokes. That's just another pitfall that you've got to talk to your kid about it, the foolishness of it all.
Yeah, you said it right. Holy smokes. We live in a world right now where only 26% of high schoolers actually think marijuana offers any risk of harm. So in other words, think about this. About 3/4 of high schoolers think marijuana is, I'll use their words, no big deal. And it's not surprising because, again, those screens in their pockets are full of role models who are just saying, oh, don't worry about it. And, of course, they're hearing all the hype. They're hearing the, hey, you know, don't worry, you know, it's not illegal. Don't worry, you know, it's got good medicinal uses. And so that's why we're in this book. Again, I don't try to tell them what to do. I just try to give them good information. And rather than arguing about legalization or whether it's good for grandma because it helps her feel better because of her chemo treatments, I say, let's just talk about you for a second. Let's talk about the effect on the developing brain. And because for young guys, you're developing your brain until your mid-20s, 25 years old. And almost every expert out there, including pro-pot advocates, say, hey, you know, don't mess with weed when your brain is still developing. I mean, this is just one of those pieces of research out there where it's a huge risk factor. So rather than arguing about legalization, because people have their arguments down, and the pro-weed folks will, you know, constantly be like, oh, you know, name one person who's overdosed from weed. See, it's not as harmful.
Right,
as
right.
So rather than getting in those arguments of whether it's as harmful as opiates or whatever, and there's frankly, there's, you know, sobering research out there about how actually young people who use marijuana are three times more likely to say yes to opiates and stuff. So there's some scary stuff. And I mean, and even when you're using marijuana, I mean, it you know, we're talking it affects IQ points, all kinds of good arguments. I don't even go there. I just go with, let's talk about your developing brain. So
these are
the things we need to talk about. We talk about this stuff with drinking, all this. We have to have these conversations with young people today.
Outstanding. Hey, Jonathan, before I let you go, okay, so having that conversation, I think, is key. And for a lot of parents, though, they struggle. I've done this in my own life with my own two boys. I think sometimes they're with me, you know, other times they're distant and, you know, they're just being the sullen, sort of shut off teenagers. I think anybody who's been a teenager and, you know, knows what that's like. So how do you, as a parent, keep that conversation line open? You got any, you know, wisdom for us there?
Well, parenting is full of bonding and boundaries. And like I said, sometimes parents, we tend to overreact instead of interact. And when we overreact and we slam, you know, and all we are is that drill sergeant with boundary, 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 it hurts bonding time. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying have no boundaries. I mean, I'm the one who really I'm a big advocate of, you know, citing research from American Academy of Pediatrics and Common Sense Media and all these guys who say, hey, let's keep phones out of the bedrooms, you know, delay getting screens until, you know, whatever age. And so I go through a lot of that different stuff in my parenting books. But those things are only as good as our conversations with our kids. We need both bonding and boundaries. And I tell you what, when we take time to, and I'll give an example, our kids playing video games, that's yeah. something I talk about in this book, rather than just popping in and going, hey, did you finish your hour of video games yet today? Get off the TV, put that controller away. What if instead we sat down and said, hey, can I play? And we sit down next to them. I know when I played video games with my son, he never opened up as much as those moments
cool.
where we were together, because I took time to enter his world, and then he asked me about my world. So also we had that bonding time and connection, and those connection times are where values are passed on. We need to seek out those connection times.
Outstanding. That's good and godly wisdom. Hey, Jonathan, thanks a lot. Jonathan McKee, Guy's Guide to Four Battles That Every Young Man Must Face, a manual to overcoming life's common distractions. Jonathan McKee.
This is Kathy Emmons. John and I are grateful for the encouragement we have from all of our advertisers, and especially our friends at Grove City College. Thanks to everyone at Grove City for supporting The Ride Home.
Oh, wow!
It can't be. Oh, yes, yes, yes!
Oh, where have you been?
If you snore, the first time you use Mute can be quite an experience.
I can breathe! I can breathe!
Snoring can happen when your nose is blocked, forcing you to breathe through your mouth. Mute is a comfortable nasal breathing device designed to increase airflow through the nose by gently opening the airways. Thanks to Mute, you get all the air you need through your nose and not your mouth, which means less snoring and more chance of sleep.
Oh, that's the best night I've had in years.
In trials, 75% of couples reported a reduction in snoring when using Mute. Available at Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid and other fine stores. To find your local store or for more information, go to mutesnoring.com. Mute. Breathe more. Snore less. Sleep better.
At Extreme Car and Truck in Bridgeville, find extreme accessories for all your dirty jobs, like hauling landscape supplies. Protect your vehicle with spray-on bed liners, tonneau covers, WeatherTech floor liners, and more. Say goodbye to dirt and grime inside and out with extreme detailing. Plus, lift kits, electronics, and remote starters. Always a favorite. Extreme Car and Truck in Bridgeville. For the extreme in all of us. At extremetruck.net.
They didn't teach us this in Bible college. A family in my church has asked me to help with their son who's addicted to heroin. They're in a serious crisis, and I'm so busy with everything else at the church. How do I help them?
For over 50 years,
Western Pennsylvania Adult and Teen Challenge has come alongside local pastors to help them in the fight against addiction in their congregations. Call 724-265-4100 now. Western Pennsylvania Adult and Teen Challenge, bringing wholeness to the hopeless.
It's that time of year. Red Nose Day is back at Walgreens. You can collect all five of the new Everyday Hero Red Noses today and help end child poverty. With your purchase of a Red Nose at Walgreens, you're making a real impact on the lives of children in need. Walgreens, trusted since 1901.
Things would happen in church that you weren't allowed to laugh.
Word FM presents
Funny Things Were Happening, and we had to pretend like it wasn't happening.
Ladies Night Out with writer, comedian, and playwright Sherry Lynn.
My sister got up and she mimed to a Yolanda Adams song, and it was beautiful.
It's a night out for the girls.
As she was miming and she was twirling, her wig came off.
June 21st at the Bible Chapel.
I have not seen the type of power or anointing that could make us forget your hairs on the floor.
Get early bird admission now through May 31st at wordfm.com.
Mostly cloudy tonight. A couple of showers and a thunderstorm will cross the area late tonight, any of which can be heavy. The low 60 degrees. Tomorrow will stay mostly cloudy with a couple of showers and a thunderstorm. High 74. Another shower or thunderstorm around tomorrow night. Low 54 degrees. Saturday, intervals of clouds and sun. A spotty shower or thunderstorm and warmer. High 82 degrees. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm meteorologist Danielle Niddle.
Man Up is coming to Pittsburgh June 8th. And listen, we're so happy to be part of Man Up. Victory Family Church in Cranberry Township. Here to talk to us about Man Up right now is Craig Giles. Craig is the pastor at Triumph Church. Craig, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing excellent. How about yourself?
Good, real good. Listen, tell me about Man Up. What's your connection with this? I mean, I know that Ed Glover and Urban Impact have been part of this for a long time. You're connected to Man Up how?
I've kind of connected with Ed from the very beginning. He and I talked, and he told me what his vision was. And it was a vision that I had for as part of my vision as my ministry, and I have a heart for men as well.
Nice.
So when he told me, I told him I would love to be a part of it. However, he would like to use me or however I can contribute to what he was doing.
Okay, so if you've never been to Man Up, and you know, I don't want to presuppose anyone's been there. I've been to Man Up, and what always surprises me about it is there's a lot of guys, you know, who are true believers, who are in the pews on Sunday all the time, and then they often bring a friend, and then there's those other guys who never would go to church, but they show up because, you know, Mike Tomlin's there, or Tunch is there, Tunch Ilkin, or, you know, they were sort of coerced into it. And then they hear for the first time, I think, the gospel of Jesus Christ. For a percentage of guys, this is an eye-opener. Have you experienced something like that, Craig?
Yes, I have. And especially the way that the gospel is presented and that it's touching, or as I would say, it's causing them to scratch where they itch. Mm. It's dealing with what their situation is. I love the way that Ed prays and the team prays to put together a format that deals with where men are, the issues that men are dealing with. And so they get to hear the gospel from a standpoint of it where it's really touching the need that they have in their life that they didn't know that they had, and they didn't know that Jesus was the only thing that could satisfy that need.
That's really good. You know, in my reading, I've just been reading this past week a series of articles about how disconnected guys are, that most guys don't even have one good friend. And, you know, you can always talk about social media and all that whole thing, but I think that's pretty standard, right? That guys cannot, will not connect. We're surrounded by a lot of lone wolves, and I think when you look at the ills of society, that's a big part of it.
I agree. I think that's where Man Up really fits that need. Ed changed a lot of the format this year to really maybe touch a little deeper and go a little deeper. And looking at men, most men are in isolation. You know, we live in a society of lone wolves, as you said. And so men don't really have or maintain a lot of deep social connections. Matter of fact, if you do research, you notice that even when after some men lose their wives, they really have a hard time dealing with life because they don't have those relationships that sustain them or that encourage them or that build them up or that basically take them from running faster to going further.
I see. So, Craig, talk to us about Man Up. You know, for the guy out there who hears this for the first time, offer some encouragement of why it's important to attend.
I would let you know it's so important to attend because it helps you realize that there's a lot of people out there just like you. I mean, guys, basically, I tease my wife and I tease the women. You know, men are very basic, you know, and it's nice to know that there's guys out there like you that are trying to get it right and that are looking to maneuver through life or to move through what they've been through. And I don't have to be alone. I don't have to hide in the shadows. I don't have to wonder if I can do it. There's a lot of people out there that you can view and see, hey, you know what? They were where I'm at and I can get there, or they're where I'm at now and we can walk there together. And nobody's judging me. Nobody's looking down on me. People are trying to give me something that's going to make me better, to encourage me, to help me along my journey. And I think that that's one of the things that man just went up. It does worse.
That's great, Craig. Listen, if you want a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you want to look at yourself as a man and where you fit in the community, Man Up Pittsburgh, June 8th, Victory Family Church in Cranberry. Look for it online. Details about ticket information, manuppittsburgh.org. Been talking to Craig Giles from Triumph Church. Craig, thanks so much for being with us.
Hey, thank you. And to the guys, see you there.
WORD.
Playing Pittsburgh's favorite Christian music on the weekends. With the best new music. New music from Ryan Stevenson with Lifted Hands. Scars Come With Living from Toby Mac.
Scars Come With Living.
And Let It Rain from Crowder with Mandisa.
So let it rain.
The best new music and Pittsburgh's favorites. Sponsored by Trinity Jewelers. 101.5 WORD on the weekend.
The following is not an actor, but a real life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I had a lot of credit card debt and I couldn't pay my bills. I was feeling so bad. I got to a point where I needed some help. So I reached out and contacted Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-936-5496 to talk to a certified counselor.
They were able to take all of my different payments and put them all together.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
And they were actually able to work with my creditors. I've been able to pay off close to $15,000 in the last 18 months.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-936-5496.
My name is Stephanie, and I'm debt-free for keeps.
1-800-936-5496.
Hi, I'm John Henney from Henney Jewelers. Since 1887, my family has helped people celebrate the most memorable moments in their lives. We are rooted in faith and commit to doing the right thing again and again. We believe in the covenant of marriage and use our To Have and To Hold program to encourage couples as they prepare to spend the rest of their lives together. Please stop into our Shadyside store to learn more or visit HenneyJewelers.com. Henney Jewelers, your jewelers for life.
When wet weather is on the way, keep it dry inside with J&D waterproofing. Water seepage and a sinking foundation can cause major structural damage if left untreated. Joe Belanti and the team at J&D Waterproofing have the experience to correct your water problem with over 72 years in the industry. Call the Tri-State's premier waterproofing company now at 1-800-VERY-DRY for a free estimate and big savings on all waterproofing services for a limited time. J&D Waterproofing, 1-800-VERY-DRY.
Hi, this is Tud Shulkin. And join me and head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Mike Tomlin, Steelers players Vance McDonald and Stephon Tuitt, and pastors Brian Loritz and Ed Glover for Man Up Pittsburgh on Saturday, June 8th at Victory Family Church in Cranberry. Man Up is a day for all men to work on becoming the best godly leaders they can be. There'll be free food, fellowship, worship, powerful messages, and dynamic breakout sessions. From high schoolers to grandfathers, this is for you. Register today at manuppittsburgh.org. Hosted by Urban Impact and brought to you locally by Chick-fil-A of Pittsburgh.
Are you afraid often?
I don't know if I'm.
You live in
fear. I really try not to be.
Yeah.
And as I was looking at Dan White's new book, I started thinking about this friend of mine. Can I tell you a story?
Yeah, please.
Shortly after President Trump was elected, remember when there was the March for Women?
Oh, sure.
Remember that in Washington, D.C.? She put something up on social media where she said that she was marching that day because she couldn't sleep for being so terrified of the president, of Donald Trump being president.
So terrified.
So terrified. Couldn't sleep. And that's why she felt like she had to go out in March. And here's my thing. And I've talked to her about this since then. I recognize that there were a lot of people that didn't vote for the president. I didn't vote for the president. So I totally get that, right? But it was a strange unfolding of a fear complex that took over a lot of people, especially young women, who somehow felt that one man ascending to one position, now albeit it's a powerful position, I get it, but one man still ascending into one position caused them to lose sleep and completely change lifestyle. That fact to me signaled something really unhealthy was starting or was just showing itself.
Yeah. That's an excellent point. I wonder what the uptick was in visits to therapists and or prescription drugs that were being given for antidepressants.
Right. And it's I don't mean to be political by bringing it up, because it could just be the same if a Democrat had been elected president. I think we're just so polarized and we've magnified politics to such an extreme that our response when our guy doesn't get in, we've become such poor losers, and our fear reflex is so profound that we go crazy.
So I wonder, you know, when our parents voted for or not for Richard Nixon, was there some sort of...
Did somebody not lose sleep?
I don't think so. No, I think they just kind of went on with their lives and, you know,
and
prayed for the best.
And thought, well, my guy didn't win.
That's right. Dan White Jr. is with us. Dan's got a brand new work called Love Over Fear, Facing Monsters, Befriending Enemies, and Healing Our Polarized World. Dan, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. So good to be with you.
Yeah, so Dan, you've thought a lot about this fear reflex. And so I wonder how you think we can discern healthy fear or healthy concern, let's put it that way, from something that I was seeing in that friend of mine where she's losing sleep over who's elected president, which I think is just unhealthy fear.
Yes. You know, I'm fascinated by neurology and how fear lights up the amygdala, which is... the code word for amygdala is the lizard brain. And the lizard brain responds to anything unfamiliar or unusual or slightly threatening with the quickest response it can, which is attack or avoid. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if we're able to, because of our polarized culture right now, have the conversation around whether attacking or avoiding everything is the best response in the face of things that are unfamiliar.
Yeah.
And this is how our culture has shaped us and even discipled us into believing that everything is part of the culture war, and that we're in a boxing ring and there's them against us and evil against good. And this is the amygdala speaking. This is a part of our brain that sees everything as fight or flight or attack or avoid.
Right. I mean, it sort of feels, Dan.
Yes.
It feels sort of like the old Twilight Rod Serling episode, Twilight Zone episode, where the power mysteriously goes out in a small town and people are sort of left to wonder what's happening. And then outsiders kind of venture in, and immediately those people are the suspects, that it quickly becomes an us versus them. And we are in these tribes today that are so deeply disconnected from each other, that us versus them thing is cause for alarm for a lot of people once they're outside of that comfort zone of their own tribe.
Right. You know, the Pew Research Report just put out some stats a year ago that 72% of conservatives and 78% of progressives only have friends in their own political camp. So progressives
so
have
sad.
Friends with progressives, and what they're calling that is siloing. We're actually siloing away from each other, and our fears get bigger the further, the more distance between us. And that's why I like to use the language of monsters. You know, I had monsters I thought under my bed as a kid, that weren't there. And the more that I ruminated on them, the more their fangs were sharper, the more bloodthirsty they were. And this lived in my imagination, and it became something I thought was very real. I just don't think that we've overcome this idea of imagining monsters in each other.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why when Jesus says to the disciples, you've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, I give you a new command to love your enemy and pray for those who hurt you. I think the disciples themselves are modeling some sense of fear that their enemies are to be hated and disgusted with. And so Jesus is inviting us into a third way, beyond attack and avoid, into a moment of affection for our enemies, to understand them and see them as human rather than as monsters.
Since my girls were little, my husband has said something repeatedly that has been, you know, looking back on it, the first time he said it, I thought, wow, that's really good. But the fact that he's repeated it over so many years has taken it from good to being like foundational. He used to say, imagine the person that you disagree with most. Okay. And then imagine that you're one of Jesus' disciples and so are they.
Yes.
And you're that different. You're that different. And he was trying to bring the story of, you know, the difference in Jesus' disciples seems like, I don't know, kind of esoteric to us. Like they're all ancient people. They were all roaming around with him. Like they were all kind of the same, but they weren't the same. And they were incredibly different in their response to who they thought he would be, who they wanted him to be, and who they had been prior to being called by him. And the only way to get that, I think, in our heads is to look at somebody who's across the political spectrum and imagine that we were both called by Jesus, and we're traveling with him, and we have to learn to live together. And all of a sudden, you tend to look at somebody who's on the other, like if you're a Democrat, you look at someone who's up on the Republican platform and you think, ooh, like that's a little bit of a different perspective, right? It's really, really hard.
Yeah, and this is the moment that we're in right now, is that it's going to take a lot of bravery and courage for us to move into a posture of love with those we fear. And this is why in 1 John, Jesus says, perfect love casts out fear. It's unnatural for us in the face of fear to move towards those we fear. What's actually natural for us is to move away from people. But the gospel of God is that we were enemies with God, and instead of moving away from us, in Jesus, he moved towards us. And this is the witness we need right now, is people rebelling and resisting against the polarized culture we're in, where polarization takes people that have something in common. It emphasizes their differences. It turns their differences into disgust, and then it turns their disgust into pure hatred for each other. We need to rebel. That's in Ephesians 6. That's a power in principality. That's a demonic reality that we're being oppressed by and being conditioned to accept polarization as a good thing. It's not a good thing. I think it's the work of the enemy to divide us. So to me, the pathway forward is choosing perfect love over fear.
Dan White's with us. His brand new work is called Love Over Fear, Facing Monsters, Befriending Enemies, and Healing Our Polarized World. Dan, at 6 o'clock, our show's over. Kath and I, we go our separate ways and get in our cars, and we get on the highway and go home. And you know what it is to drive anonymously in your vehicle. Sooner or later, somebody gets mad, and you know you see fingers flying down the highway. And you know, whenever you see that, I often think, you know, if that guy was sitting across from me, or we were, you know, at Starbucks together, nobody's given the finger in Starbucks. I don't think so.
But there's
something about, you know, our separation that's anonymous.
But because you're in your individual cars, you're saying?
Yeah. Right? You can't see the other guy's eyes. But when you look in someone's eyes, that's disruptive in some way. You see the humanity of the person who sits in front of you, and there's something holy when you look in someone's eyes, as opposed to the anonymous thing of giving somebody the finger flying down the highway.
Right on. I mean, we're seeing this with technology. It's really easy to lambaste and ruin and toss a verbal grenade through social media, because we don't actually have to sit across the table from them and share a cup of coffee. This is what happens when interpersonal presence is eroded. We no longer see each other. We don't see each other in our eyes and in the very image of God that we've been given. And so your car illustration is on steroids on social media. And we need a revolution against all these mediums that are dehumanizing us and teaching us to live into our amygdala, into our base fears.
What's that look like?
I mean, yeah, because here's the question. We need to start. It's so easy to look at the person on social media who left some kind of snarky response and say, what a jerk. What a total jerk. But that's part of the problem is I'm still pointing the finger at somebody else in another camp who's anonymous saying, boy, are you a jerk. So I guess step one has to be I need to deal with, like, I need to recognize what? When I'm afraid and how I respond?
Yeah, I think the first thing is a movement towards spiritual maturity and identifying that your automatic response is not the holiest response. There's a high potential it's rooted in fear. Most of us think that our first response is the most sacred, most holy, most righteous, most just response. We need to begin to slow down and be really honest with the fact that we're seeing monsters in each other, and that's we're reacting from that stage.
All right, so if that's step one, then how I don't know. When I think of the people that I know who are on a different silo than I am, the place we come together is at church.
Yes.
So how does the church community, I mean, in my life, that's certainly been the foundational level. So what needs to happen? Do you see that in your research and your experience, people coming together who are different? Because if they're not coming together at church, where are they meeting?
I think there's some sadness here I have, but also some hope at the same time. For the most part, we're becoming very purist in our associations, and specifically within the church. You go to a progressive church or you go to a conservative church, and more people, actually the story of the book is that on one Sunday morning, I had a couple come to me and say they had to leave our church because they didn't feel like they could be in a church with such conservatives who had oppressive views. And then two Sundays later, a dear woman came to me and said, I think I need to leave this church because there are people with such liberal, immoral views, and I don't feel like I can be myself here.
Wow.
both feeling like they could not stay at the communion table with each other. And this third way that God is inviting us into is really has to be a work of discipleship in our local churches. We've got to learn the new muscles of affection and enemy love, which are compassionate curiosity towards each other, sharing meals with our frenemies, learning how to speak grace in truth. I just don't know if there's been a lot of discipleship around how to move towards our enemies. I think for the most part, it's just an unexercised muscle. And so,
Dan White. Hey, Dan, thanks for being with us. Love over fear, facing monsters, befriending enemies, and healing our polarized world.
What's inside your mattress affects its price, comfort, and durability. But most mattress manufacturers won't show you what's inside their products because they simply don't want you to know. How can you know if you're getting the best value if you don't know how your mattress is made? At the Original Mattress Factory, we believe that transparency is what's best for our customers. So we have open displays of each model in our showroom so you can see and feel the difference in our products. Visit one of our local Original Mattress Factory stores to see exactly what we're made of.
Not so long ago, all mattresses had two sides, and for good reason. You can flip two-sided mattresses regularly, making them last longer than one-sided mattresses. So, what happened to two-sided mattresses? In an effort to cut costs, most mattress manufacturers cut their mattresses in half. For nearly three decades, the Original Mattress Factory has believed that building high-quality two-sided mattresses is the right thing to do. Visit us in one of our stores or at originalmattress.com to see how our products are built right and built to last.
Hi, this is Tutch Elkin. Join me and head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Mike Tomlin, Steelers players Vance McDonald and Stephon Tuitt, and pastors Brian Loritz and Ed Glover for Man Up Pittsburgh on Saturday, June 8th at Victory Family Church in Cranberry. Man Up is a day for all men to work on becoming the best godly leaders they can be. There'll be free food, fellowship, worship, powerful messages, and dynamic breakout sessions. From high schoolers to grandfathers, this is for you. Register today at manuppittsburgh.org. Hosted by Urban Impact and brought to you locally by Chick-fil-A of Pittsburgh.
Hey, Pittsburgh, this is Tunch Ilkin for my friends at Calusi Chevrolet. If you've been thinking about a new car or truck, now is the time. This month, you could save 18% off the MSRP on select 2018 models still in stock. For example, the Chevy Cruze, Malibu, and Silverado all qualify. And you can buy with confidence knowing the team at Colusi has been serving Pittsburgh for over 100 years. Check them out at Colusi.com. Chevrolet. Find new roads at Colusi Chevrolet.
I love that song. It's happy birthday to Janet Jackson.
What? You and Janet Jackson share a birthday.
That's right.
Very nice.
Janet and I have always been close.
Excellent.
You know how old she is?
47.
Wrong.
Okay.
53.
Mm-hmm. Janet.
Also, Pierce Brosnan's birthday today.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
The Pierce.
Mm-hmm. James Bond, he was for maybe two films.
Yeah.
He was he moonlighting? Or no, that was Bruce Willis.
Oh, yeah.
Who did...
Pierce Bronson.
I love this song.
What TV show did Pierce Bronson do? It was on NBC, but I don't know. I never watched it.
This is Rhythm Nation, right?
Wait,
these are both from the same album.
I thought we moved beyond Janet Jackson.
No, we're still on Janet.
We're back.
Oh. I missed that meeting.
Pierce Brosnan was in some show.
Yeah.
Listen, Mike.
It's Concise Radio. Thanks
How old
for joining
do you think
us.
He is today?
He is 68.
66.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. It's bothering me. I can't think of what show he was in. I've somehow mixed up Moonlight.
Oh, do not.
It was his name, wasn't it? It was the name of the show was the character's.
Yeah, Bronson.
Listen, Mike.
Bronson. Oh, it's easy to sit behind the glass.
Sharing the word that changes the world. 101.5 WORD-FM, Pittsburgh, a service of Salem Media Group.
With SRN News, I'm Ron DeRockstra. President Trump's latest immigration proposal calls for a dramatic shift in the green card system.
National legal immigration process. It is totally dysfunctional. The system will finally be fair, transparent, and promote equality and opportunity for all.
The president spoke in the Rose Garden earlier this afternoon. One of the contested proposals would shift green card priority away from relatives of people already in the U.S. toward those with high-level skills, degrees, and existing job offers. A Missouri bill to ban abortions at 8 weeks of pregnancy is just one step away from going to Governor Mike Parson. Republican-led Senate passed the legislation earlier today, needs just a final vote from the Republican-led House. This is SRN News.
The Ride Home with John and Kathy, driven by Colusi Chevrolet, serving the Pittsburgh area for over 100 years.
What is it that Jesus imparts to us as the bread of life that assures us we will possess everlasting life? Salvation from sin. In faith, we lay hold of Christ and all the blessings of salvation found in Him. We eat and drink Christ with the spiritual hands and mouth of faith and live forever. How can this be true? Because Christ has gone the way of sin and death for sinners. He has taken on Him all their sin, shame, and guilt. He substituted Himself in the place of those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Christ then paid the price for their sin by bearing the anger of God against sin. Christ satisfies God's justice, bringing us back into God's favor. God imputes the righteousness of Christ to those who come to Jesus in sorrow over sin. Amazing grace. I'm Pastor Bill Bryansma of the Pittsburgh Protestant Reformed Church. Give us a call at 412-727-6811 or search prcpittsburgh.org. Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things that concern our Lord Jesus Christ.
Jen had a very busy day today. Really busy. First, she dropped her kids off at daycare.
Bye, Mom.
Then she had a few minutes before yoga class for a coffee.
Small latte, please.
And then... she saved a few lives.
Nurse, 2 units, O negative.
One, an injured child. Another, a cardiac patient. And then, a premature baby. All because Jen logged on to bloodsciencefoundation.org and made a financial donation.
There, done.
You see, local blood donors provide only about half of what is needed to treat patients. The other half has to be purchased and relies on financial donations from people like you and Jen.
Ooh, cake pops.
So, what have you done today? To make a financial donation that saves lives, visit bloodsciencefoundation.org. Blood Science Foundation. Giving from the heart.
Lowe's knows you'll do it right to save big on your to-do list. We do it right, too, with savings during our Memorial Day sale, so you can start checking off your list and save, too. Now get select 2.5-quart perennials, 3 for $12, in store only. And keep your yard looking its best and save $100 on a Greenworks 60-volt string trimmer and blower combo kit, now just $199. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offers valid through 5/22. See store for details, U.S. only. Perennial offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
At Extreme Car and Truck in Bridgeville, find extreme accessories for all your dirty jobs, like hauling landscape supplies. Protect your vehicle with spray-on bed liners, tonneau covers, WeatherTech floor liners, and more. Say goodbye to dirt and grime inside and out with extreme detailing. Plus, lift kits, electronics, and remote starters, always a favorite. Extreme Car and Truck in Bridgeville, for the extreme in all of us. At extremetruck.net.
Mostly cloudy tonight. A couple of showers and a thunderstorm will cross the area late tonight, any of which can be heavy. The low 60 degrees. Tomorrow will stay mostly cloudy with a couple of showers and a thunderstorm. High 74. Another shower or thunderstorm around tomorrow night. Low 54 degrees. Saturday, intervals of clouds and sun. A spotty shower, thunderstorm, and warmer. High 82 degrees. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm meteorologist Danielle Niddle.
Welcome to another edition of The Ride Home with John and Kathy, live from the Salem-Pittsburgh studios. And now here are your hosts, John Hall and Kathy Emmons.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome. Thanks for coming along to this Thursday edition of The Ride Home. I keep thinking about you, because on Tuesday you were going, man, it's a long week.
It was Tuesday.
Tuesday. That's a long
Thank
week.
Thank goodness we're at Thursday. Got to be honest with you.
What the heck is going on there? Yeah. It was a good lunch today. Today is Kathy Emmons' birthday. Woo. Happy birthday to you, Kathy.
Happy birthday to you.
What?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Oh, yeah, Kath.
Happy birthday to you.
Thanks, you guys.
Very nice. New Mike brought in a burnt almond tort cake from Prantl's.
Which is so delicious.
Very nice. We went out to lunch, a little staff luncheon.
We had all sorts of. We had a little party in here.
Yeah. What'd you have for lunch?
I had the Rachel.
Oh, I had the Reuben.
Yeah.
Was it good?
It was excellent.
Mine was excellent as well.
Yeah. Very, very good.
Yeah. Why don't you like the corned beef?
Because I don't really like corned beef very much.
What? Don't you?
And I don't like sauerkraut.
What?
Mm-mm.
You don't like sauerkraut?
No.
Really?
No.
I love both. A corn. Oh, man. A
Not
Reuben?
Even on a Prannies or a Permini sandwich?
Not really. No.
No. Wow.
Huh. No, I really like coleslaw. I am a big, big fan of coleslaw.
Hmm.
So well, I want to have my cabbage raw, not cooked.
Okay, all right. Well, no, I like it.
That's how I feel.
Well, happy birthday to you.
So thank you, both of you. Yeah. You've made it a very fun day for me,
nice.
And I thank you, Stevie, for singing me that song.
Oh, Stevie.
Stevie.
What the heck?
That's right.
What? Well, Stevie's, what was it?
Just a couple days ago.
Is that Tuesday as well?
Yeah.
All right.
Tuesday was a hard day for me, but
right.
I made it through.
Yeah.
All right, so big news in the front on the abortion war.
Holy
in
smokes.
America.
Is it ever big news?
It was probably 3 or 4 months ago we were talking about the governor of Virginia getting on a radio show and saying calmly, well, you know, if this legislation that we're advocating passes and a baby is born through a botched abortion, then the baby will be kept comfortable while the mom and the physician have a calm decision about whether the baby should live or die.
And people nodded their heads in agreement going, yeah, that makes good sense.
And then the other half of the country said, are you kidding me?
Have you lost your minds?
Come on.
Yeah.
We also had the state house in New York being lit up as it was voted that we would have virtually unrestricted abortion in New York State.
The New York City skyline.
Everybody was so excited that we were just going to, you know, have pink light everywhere, and it was going to be an unrestricted future for all of the women who think that this is their ticket forward.
Yes.
Well, here's the backlash. Alabama's abortion bill is the strictest in the nation, signed by Governor Kay Ivey, and it'll set up a legal challenge before the Supreme Court, most likely for the landmark Roe versus Wade ruling. Now, what's interesting and unique about the Alabama bill is that it bans abortion at any stage of pregnancy, with the only exception being in cases when the pregnancy threatens the life of the woman.
Right.
There is no exception for rape. There is no exception for incest. Doctors who perform the procedure could be charged with felonies and face up to 99 years in prison. Now,
wow.
A woman seeking an abortion would not be guilty of a felony. The doctor performing, yes. The woman seeking, no.
That's odd.
Mm-hmm, that's the way it is.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, it's a major deal. I mean, gigantic news that's happening, and it's going to have a ripple effect as well.
Yeah, so the heartbeat bill was already signed into law in Georgia, and we've got, let's see, six other states who are considering bills like that. Missouri's Republican-led Senate passed a bill today that would prohibit abortions after 8 weeks. In Louisiana, a six-week abortion ban sailed through a committee on Wednesday. The state's Democratic governor has indicated he will sign it when it reaches his desk. He is a rare Democrat who is pro-life. South Carolina, their House passed a heartbeat bill last month. Illinois, a heartbeat legislation was introduced in February, is being debated in the House. In Florida, Republicans introduced a six-week ban back in February. In Maryland, lawmakers introduced a heartbeat bill also in February. And in Minnesota, Republicans in the state Senate introduced a heartbeat bill.
Wow.
How about West Virginia?
Holy
smokes. Heartbeat
bill
also introduced.
Okay. So that proof that if there is a baby in the womb, it is a baby, not a blob of tissue. Mm-hmm. It is a baby in the womb.
Well, it's proof that a lot of people in America think that.
I think so, too.
Yeah,
yeah, right.
That's what I believe is the case. And I think that hearing the audio over and over and over of the governor of Virginia saying what I said on radio was so shocking to people that they thought, wait a minute, we have to do something. And I'm really thrilled to see it. Now, let me bring up a part of this that is a concern to me, John. I don't know if you have seen a lot of these GIFs online because you're a man, but I have seen so many of them in the last 24 hours since I'm a woman. And there, how could 25 white men pass a bill in Alabama, which is the death of freedom for women?
I've not seen this.
Okay, so this has – I've probably seen 15 of them in the last 20 hours since the Alabama bill passed.
So progressive perspective.
How dare 25 white men make a decision for women?
Right.
And I think that this is a major issue that we have to think through. I think that putting our individual position or our – I don't know, our gender, our race, our ethnicity, as some kind of calling card or some kind of establishment of right to comment on an issue is faulty logic. I mean, so I'm only allowed to comment on an issue like this because I'm a woman. And John, because you're a man, you have no standing whatsoever.
It
doesn't qualify. I don't think it makes any sense.
So if you're a white man, you have no skin in this game, so to speak.
Right. Now, it took a man to make the baby, right, that we're talking about.
Right.
So but
it's
all
a
of,
union of the two.
Right. Now, we know that the gig for the woman is harder because the woman is the one who's
She's
pregnant.
Carrying the baby.
The woman is the one who has to have the baby. I mean, I get all that, right? I think that's very – obviously, I've been through this a couple times. I know how it works. But at the same time, isn't it strange that we're pushing ourselves into silos that are so very high and so very separated from each other that we're only allowed to comment on something if we are pure in our – not just our ideological presentation, but our
– Experience.
Well, not just our experience, but who we are. So because you're a man, that's not your experience. That's your genetic makeup. You're
so
out.
It disqualifies
you're,
me.
You're disqualified. I mean – I don't think that bodes well for our future of being able to comment on ideas.
Yeah, but you know, I get the point though. They're saying, okay, so 25 white guys are making the rules for all women. And so there's no women at the table here, right? It'd be
right.
different if it was, you know, 15 white guys and, you know, a mix of whatever, right? The problem is that it's the majority locked down all every which way.
Right. And I get the fact that women should be at the table. I recognize that it's important for women to be a part of conversations. I mean, I'm a woman and I want to be a part of ideological conversations. I mean, I get that. I understand that that is a longing that women have. And of course, there's nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, we live in America. We appreciate the rights that we have been given and the Constitution that we live under. That was all written by white men.
Different place, different time. People will say that, right?
But
how's that worked out?
It's worked out extremely well. It's the freest, most successful country in the history of the world.
Yeah.
So is there something wrong with the fact that it was all men? No, it was the fact that was, like you said, it was a product of the time. But just because it was all men doesn't mean that it wasn't good.
Yeah, it's not null and void because of that.
Right. So therefore, if a bunch of men voted in Alabama for an idea that was right, was ideologically right, it shouldn't matter that they were men.
Yeah, sure. But you also hear, you know, well, Alabama, well, that's just a redneck state, you know. So what does Alabama know? It's not New York. It's not California, right? It's not progressive at all. It's somewhere in the deep South.
Well, this is the problem, I think, one of the problems with Roe versus Wade and why it's going to end up being challenged is that it was a legislation that was passed not by the legislature. No one ever voted on abortion being legalized in the country.
Right.
It was just the Supreme Court justices. It was nine people that decided it, right? It should have been decided by the legislature. So what's happening right now with different abortion laws in different states, I think, is the way it should always have been left.
States' rights.
States' rights. Every state should decide. So if Alabama wants to be as they are,
let them be.
And if New York wants to be as they are,
let them be.
I mean, look, to me, it's the fairest way. Now, if you asked me what I would prefer, I would love to see a day when the hearts of Americans were changed such that we recognize that abortion is a Holocaust. It is a contemporary Holocaust. I would love to see that. I would love to. But until we get to that point, we should let the states decide.
Yeah. And so it looks like that's finally happening.
Well, that would be awesome. Yeah. But there's going to be a Supreme Court challenge, and it's going to be absolutely gripping, fascinating to see what legal arguments are put up by both sides in the Supreme Court to see how we decide that.
Right.
I mean, Roe versus Wade, from the very moment that it was put into law, has been suspect, just legally, on legal grounds.
Right.
It was just a very odd case. A lot of it is based on the idea of viability. And viability, as we know, has been moving back and back and back with the advance of scientific technology, right? So it's one of the reasons. And again, it was legislation via court instead of legislation via legislature.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you. I believe it is states' rights. I don't know if it'll ever return to that.
I don't know if it will
especially
either.
With, you know, Roe v. Wade being challenged. Would it were so that all states decide for themselves what's best for their local constituents and citizens?
It was maybe 3 or 4 years ago. You know Frank Bruni, who writes for
Times, yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
He's a progressive writer.
He
right?
is big time.
He wrote a really thought-provoking piece on why it shouldn't be the case that we reject ideas based on who's giving them or who's voting for them or who's bringing them up. He says this. He says, I question the wisdom of turning categories into credentials when it comes to politics and public debate. He says, I reject the assumptions, otherwise known as prejudices, that certain life circumstances prohibit sensitivity and sound judgment, while other conditions guarantee them. Okay? Basically, what he's saying is, just because I'm a woman doesn't mean I have a better idea of what should be abortion policy. I have a lot to offer in the discussion, but it doesn't mean that all of a sudden, just because I'm a woman, I'm better at deciding this than you are because you're a man.
Yeah, you're not sanctified.
Right, we're trying. We should be trying, both of us together, from our life experiences, to decide on the right course of action. The right course of action is not determined by me because I'm a woman. I should be looking for the right course of action that exists in the world, and I should be asking you to help me.
That's really good. I mean, the truth is that wisdom often is bereft of politics. That they do not go hand in hand. And so this will find its way. I can't imagine 20 years from now we'll still be having the same conversation. This will shake itself out
eventually.
I think
eventually. It will. I do. I think it will shake itself out.
Yeah.
I think we're watching it happen.
Yep, we are, in slow motion. It's a good thing. Confronting Christianity, we're going to talk about that next. 12 hard questions for the world's largest religion. Rebecca McLaughlin joins us with that conversation. Stick around. It's The Ride Home with John and Kathy here on Word FM and WPIT Radio.
One oh one. 101.5 WORD.
Playing Pittsburgh's favorite Christian music on the weekends. With the best new music.
New music from Josh Wilson. Borrow one day at a time.
Don't borrow. No trouble for tomorrow.
Till I Found You from Phil Wickham. New from Unspoken.
The best new music and Pittsburgh's favorites.
Sponsored by Trinity Jewelers.
101.5 WORD on the weekend.
The Steelers, Penguins, and Pirates are successful sports teams because they have a plan and they stick to it. Before their games even start, they know what they want to do and how they're going to do it. The same is true in retirement. Do you have a game plan, or are you just going to wing it when that day comes? I'm Ethan Lane, Associate Advisor at Accurate Solutions Group, where we strictly focus on retirement planning. We help people retire with confidence, clarity, and independence. Give our team a call now to start building your own retirement blueprint. 412-515-3555. That's 412-515-3555. Don't be unprepared. At Accurate Solutions Group, we can help build you a plan to get you to and through retirement successfully. 412-515-3555. That's 412-515-3555. Investment advisory services offered through ASG Investment Management, LLC.
Hey, Pittsburgh, this is Tunch Ilkin from my friends at Calusi Chevrolet. If you've been thinking about a new car or truck, now is the time. This month, you could save 18% off the MSRP on select 2018 models still in stock. For example, the Chevy Cruze, Malibu, and Silverado all qualify. And you could buy with confidence knowing the team at Calusi has been serving Pittsburgh for over 100 years. Check them out at Calusi.com. Chevrolet. Find new roads at Calusi Chevrolet.
Are you looking to grow your career with an advanced degree? With 100% online programs in regional centers in South Point, Cranberry, and Penn Center East, Waynesburg University has a program to fit your needs and your schedule. We offer flexible and affordable graduate programs in business, counseling, education, criminal investigation, and nursing, as well as degree completion programs in nursing, business, and criminal justice. Waynesburg University's programs will equip you with the knowledge and expertise needed to implement coursework into your daily work and grow your career. To learn more, visit waynesburg.edu.
Things would happen in church that you weren't allowed to laugh.
Word FM presents
Funny Things Were Happening, and we had to pretend like it wasn't happening.
Ladies Night Out with writer, comedian, and playwright Sherry Lynn.
My sister got up and she mimed to a Yolanda Adams song, and it was beautiful.
It's a night out for the girls.
As she was miming and she was twirling, her wig came off.
June 21st at the Bible Chapel.
I have not seen the type of power or anointing that could make us forget your hairs on the floor.
Get early bird admission now through May 31st at wordfm.com.
Rebecca McLaughlin is back with us. Rebecca's a regular guest on our show. Rebecca holds a PhD in Renaissance Literature from Cambridge University, a theology degree from Oak Hill College. She is co-founder of Vocable Communications, former vice president of content at the Veritas Forum. Her brand new work, first time ever author, Confronting Christianity, 12 Hard Questions for the World's Largest Religion. Rebecca, congratulations and welcome.
Thanks so much, John. How's it going?
Very good. We're always happy that you're with us.
Rebecca, you start your book talking about your arrival on your college campus. You said everybody came sporting something, and you had your big old cross on.
Yeah, so when I was going to college, I was deciding between studying English and studying engineering. And I went to visit my brother, who was at the same college a few months before when I was applying. And I hang out with some people studying English literature, and I hang out with some engineers. And I just decided the English literature people were having more fun.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought I'd do English. But the problem was then that the English literature folks, particularly in my year, I think, we may have sort of spiked on the coolness front.
Mm-hmm.
There were 10 of us in our little college in Cambridge. And me and one other girl kind of stuck out because we were not hyper cool, ridiculously beautiful people who spent their time modeling for major clothing stores or starring in films. You know, that just wasn't,
yes,
wasn't where I was at. And what was worse, as you mentioned, I showed up with this massive wooden cross around my neck because I thought better to get it over to start with, right? Better to declare I'm a Christian at the beginning of any relationship, any friendship, and then go from there, then try to introduce that later. So I was kind of a double whammy of uncool and having to relate to some super cool folks there. But in some ways, I think there can be virtue to starting with the more serious conversations in a way, and just saying, like, rather than building relationship to the point where we feel like maybe we can gingerly introduce the fact that we're a Christian, almost to find a way to just introduce it from the first and see where that goes.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, so Rebecca, in confronting Christianity, you ask 12 really difficult questions that if you're a believer or you're someone who's interested in religion at all, you end up sooner or later at these questions. And you start off with this age-old question about the world and the state of religion in the world, which essentially is, wouldn't we all be better off if there just was not religion? I mean, it kind of harkens back to John Lennon's Imagine.
Right. I think there is a twin assumption at the moment, at least among many of our secular friends. I live up in the northeast of America, so plenty of secular friends, that religion is dying out and increasingly becoming irrelevant, and that's, broadly speaking, a good thing. We can function perfectly well without religion. Maybe religious traditions met some historic needs, but they can now be met in more healthy, sort of secular ways, let's say. What's really interesting is if you look at both of those assumptions, so one, the idea that religion's dying out, turns out that's a really bad take. And that's a bad take based on the fact that we only really pay attention to white men and not the rest of the world. So the white Western men give us that paradigm because that's where religion is typically declining. But globally, religion in general is thriving, Christianity in particular is thriving, and it's actually non-religious folks that are declining. So that's sort of bad take number one. And then bad take number two is that religion is somehow, in general, bad for us. Now, the two problems with this are, number one, we can't really talk about religion as a monolithic thing any more than we can talk about philosophy as a monolithic thing. And nobody says,
sure. Right.
Philosophy, it leads us in bad directions. You're like, well, which philosophy are you talking about? Or even an analogy I sometimes like to use is if you said, you know, drugs are bad for you, if what you meant by that is don't take cocaine, then sure, that's true. But if what you mean by that is don't take the medication that you've been given for your heart condition, that's going to have a very different impact on your health. So we need to distinguish between different kinds of religious instruction and practice. But what's fascinating, if you look at the research that's coming out of psychology, sort of academic field of psychology at the moment, you'll find that actually there are many ways in which religious practice seems to be actually very good for us psychologically. Mm-hmm. So people who regularly attend church at least once a week have lower rates of depression, less likelihood of suicide, more positivity, etc. So there are ways in which it impacts us psychologically. There are ways in which it impacts us health-wise. People who regularly go to church actually live longer than those who don't. And they have lower rates of multiple diseases. We all know that smoking, you know, if you smoke and then quit smoking, that has a positive impact on your health. Turns out if you start going to church, that has an equivalently positive impact on your health. Or like eating more fruits and vegetables. We all think, we all know that that's a good thing for our health. Again, regularly participating in religious community and services has an equivalent impact. And to be clear, not just having general religious feelings or beliefs, but showing up at church or showing up at synagogue, or, you know, it's not necessarily specific to Christianity, but regularly being part of religious community seems to have a real impact on our health. And it also seems to have an impact on how we relate to society. So,
Rebecca McLaughlin is with us. She holds a PhD from Cambridge University and a theology degree from Oak Hill Seminary in London. We're talking about her brand new book called Confronting Christianity, 12 Hard Questions for the World's Largest Religion. Now, Rebecca, before we leave one of your chapters, which is entitled Aren't We Better Off Without Religion? I want to address something that you address, which is the idea that we just don't in the West even understand how much of what we know, work with, and read comes from a Christian foundation to start with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are many things which our friends today would think of as just self-evident truths. So, for example, the idea that all men and women are created equal, or at least are equal, whether they think they're created or not, and that we have a moral responsibility toward those who are less well-off than us. I mean, somebody sort of starving in the slums in Calcutta has a moral demand on me. It turns out these things are not self-evident truths at all. It's an idea that's come to us effectively from Christianity, if you look back at the history of thought. So sometimes when a friend of mine might think, well, I object to Christianity because I don't feel like Christianity delivers on universal human rights. Actually, the only reason that they think that there should be such a thing as universal human rights and equality is because of our Christian history.
Mm.
So we find ourselves in this funny position of evaluating Christians according to Christian ethics without realizing it.
Right, and right. Which, taking us into one of your other chapters, is the same thing that happens with science, right? We tend to think that the assumption science points to atheism, and that's the end of the story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in fact, the modern scientific method was developed by Christians, not as an alternative hypothesis to belief in a creator God, but actually because they believed in a creator God who was both rational and free. And so they thought maybe the God of the Bible who had given us moral laws to live by when he was creating the universe, perhaps he created the universe according to sort of physical laws, and that if we go and look and see, you know, examine the universe around us, maybe we'll be able to figure out what those laws are. So sort of ironically, we think of science as an alternative to belief in God. And actually, the first scientists, in terms of the modern scientific method developed about 400 years ago, were actually motivated by their faith to do science.
That's interesting. Well, Rebecca, your work here is so deep and at the same time so very clear. Our time is so short. We want to have you back again because Confronting Christianity, 12 Hard Questions for the World's Largest Religion, we want to delve deeper as you lead us through this over multiple times, if that's okay with you.
Sounds great.
Excellent.
Good to see you.
Very good. We'd love to have you with us. Rebecca McLaughlin, Confronting Christianity. It's an excellent piece. We look forward to future conversations. Stay with us. We got more ahead. It's The Ride Home with John and Kathy here on Word FM and WPIT Radio.
If you're drowning in IRS debt and can't afford to pay, then you need to take advantage of special IRS tax programs that are available and free yourself from IRS collection efforts once and for all. Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing throughout the country, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle delinquent tax problems. An open phone line has been established by Community Tax for consumers to call and see if they qualify. Take down this number or store it in your cell phone, but call the Community Tax Helpline at 800-500-5588. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and cannot afford to pay them back, or even if you have years of unfiled tax returns, there's no need to fear anymore. But you have to call the Community Tax Helpline today at 800-500-5588 for the help that you need. Don't take on the IRS alone. They can attack your wages, savings, pension, home, and even your Social Security check. Call 800-500-5588 for your free consultation and to see if you qualify. That's 800-500-5588.
Turkey and stuffing, real mashed potatoes, sliced top round, Aunt Emma's broccoli casserole, chicken and gravy over buttermilk biscuits. Am I making you hungry yet? Hi, it's me, Marcia, from the Spring House. Do you have a special event coming up in your life? A shower, a wedding, graduation party, company party, anniversary event, or any occasion where you'd love to serve all-natural, farm-fresh foods? Then it's time to give the Spring House Catering Department a call at 724-228-3339. From your first conversation with Dawn, who will help you create a menu that's unique to you, to the beautiful, bounteous setup and display that my sister Jill and her crew create, you will be delighted. After every catering event, Jill tells our cooks, "I wish I could take you with me so you could hear all the wonderful comments guests give us." Give us a call at 724-228-3339 or check out our extensive menu at springhousemarket.com for farm fresh catering from the Springhouse.
If credit card debt has you down, nonprofit Trinity Debt Management can help. Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees, and drastically reduce your interest. You'll pay thousands less than you originally owed. It's not a loan. It's a way to become debt-free and possibly improve your credit score. So call Trinity and talk to a certified counselor. They'll explain their proven program to you with no pressure, just practical solutions and hope for tomorrow. Are you ready to pay off your credit cards in less time for less money? Then call for a free no-obligation debt analysis and become debt-free for keeps. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Gather up your bills and call this toll-free number for a free no-obligation debt analysis. Call 1-800-936-5496. That's 1-800-936-5496. 1-800-936-5496.
Mostly cloudy tonight. A couple of showers and a thunderstorm will cross the area late tonight. any of which can be heavy. The low 60 degrees. Tomorrow will stay mostly cloudy with a couple of showers and a thunderstorm. High 74. Another shower or thunderstorm around tomorrow night. Low 54 degrees. Saturday, intervals of clouds and sun. A spotty shower, a thunderstorm, and warmer. High 82 degrees. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm meteorologist Danielle Niddle.
The market goes up and the market goes down. But one thing remains the same. Record low unemployment means there are still more job openings than people to fill them. And that means you have leverage. They're vying for your attention at WordFM's virtual job fair. Visit wordfm.com/virtual for great local companies ready to offer you an employment upgrade. Isn't it time you got a raise? The virtual job fair, where many are called, but you are chosen at wordfm.com/virtual.
Well, across the country, colleges are celebrating the recent graduation of this 2019 class. But Harvard has a different take.
This is one of those issues that I have a hard time talking about in a cogent way, because I cannot get over the fact that this is acceptable on a college campus with ostensibly adults running it.
Well, I wonder if it's the story, which you'll talk about in a second, if it's just because it's the Ivy League. I mean, something like this happening at Slippery Rock or Carlo.
No, I think it would make me every bit. Maybe, I don't know.
I don't think it would happen at Slippery Rock or Carlo.
Yeah, so maybe it's because it's an Ivy League place and they think that the denizens of progressive thought, and so they have to cave.
They are the cutting edge
of it. Student pressure. Okay, let's talk about the story. The story is that Ronald Sullivan is on the faculty at Harvard. His wife, Stephanie Robinson, and he together are the deans of Winthrop House. Harvard, because of its very old, I mean, you might understand this if you read the Harry Potter books, is that they're divided into houses. Right. Students are divided into houses. And so the people that are the deans of your house are the people that are kind of your caretakers, your godparents while you're there.
Your adult RAs.
Exactly, exactly. Ronald Sullivan, in addition to being a faculty member at Harvard, in addition to being the dean of Winthrop House, also recently agreed to be on the defense team for Harvey Weinstein, famously accused of sexually intimidating and or
assault,
abusing
rape.
I don't know how many women in Hollywood. That's yet to be determined. Ronald Sullivan has a distinguished history. He has defended Michael Brown. You'll remember the stand-up hands up, don't shoot guy in his suit against Ferguson, Missouri. He also defended Aaron Hernandez. Now, that name might not sound familiar to you, but I will tell you, and this will probably jog your memory, that he was a New England Patriot who was accused and convicted of murder before he committed suicide in prison, maybe 3 or 4 years ago.
Right.
So he was on his defense team. All right.
So this is a very well-connected, high-powered lawyer who takes unpopular cases.
Exactly. And has been involved for a long time in attempting to release wrongfully incarcerated people.
Right.
Okay. They say, this is a round number, he's responsible for the release of more than 6,000 people who were wrongfully incarcerated.
How can that be? 6,000 people?
He has worked on so many cases over so many years.
What does that mean? Okay? It's 6,000
His clients have included accused murderers. You know who else he defended? He defended the two guys who were the terrorists at the Boston Marathon.
Oh, the two brothers.
Right. Okay, but over all this time.
Well, the one brother died.
Right. After all this time, his job at Harvard was never in jeopardy when he was defending the terrorists in Boston, when he was defending Aaron Hernandez, who was accused and convicted of murder, or when he was defending Michael Brown. None of these things impacted his job whatsoever. In fact, he was, he was lauded.
And I'm sure he was compensated very well for that, because he brought good attention to Harvard.
Now that it's Harvey Weinstein, we see a whole group of students who are saying that they are, quote, induced into trauma because he has decided to join Harvey Weinstein's legal defense team.
The students, this is the students'
the
phrase.
Students
I've been induced into trauma.
Exactly.
Because some guy who's acting as the house parent at the place that I'm staying at Harvard is helping to defend someone who is unpopular in the modern vernacular.
Right. So
what the heck?
Okay, Danu Madunake, one of the students leading the campaign to remove Ronald Sullivan from Harvard, described the professor's representation of Harvey Weinstein, quote, as not only upsetting but deeply trauma-inducing, and evidence that he, quote, does not value the safety of students he lives with within Winthrop House.
Wait. You're a student at Harvard. Don't you know how the American justice system works? And wouldn't you applaud someone who would take difficult cases to represent people who are under...
No. Apparently, in their eyes, it's okay to defend a terrorist. It's okay to defend a murderer. But it is not okay to defend Harvey Weinstein.
See, that's wrong. Okay. This is how far we've fallen off the cliff here.
According to Mandunake and her fellow radicals, I'm reading here from Reason.com, Professor Sullivan has made Harvard an unsafe and hostile educational environment.
Come on.
Now, after hearing all these complaints, the Harvard dean, Rakesh Khurana, has decided that she will come down on the side of the students, and he has been removed, along with his wife, from being the dean of Winthrop House.
Okay, so he is still employed by Harvard.
Yeah, he's still on the faculty, but he lost his position as dean of Winthrop House. Now, let me also say, just to add something else to the mix, he and his wife were the very first African Americans to ever serve in the position of dean of a house of Harvard.
What?
Yeah, they're the very first African American.
Holy smokes. How long has he been dean? Do you have any idea?
I don't know about that.
So, I mean, look.
But they've both been removed.
Has it been 10 years? To think that it's only 10 years that African Americans are at Harvard in a leadership position like that. Well, that says a lot.
Okay, let me correct something. Rakesh Khurana, who is the dean of Harvard, is a man, not a woman.
I assumed
that it was a woman. I apologize. It is a man. He said it is a regrettable situation and a very hard decision to make.
Wow. So when I hear this, you know, of course, there's a lot of insanity in this conversation. I have to think there has to be something, because it tends to be this way, especially in modern Ivy League academia, that there has to be a cash situation to this, that someone who is a benefactor of Harvard somehow is connected to this small circle of students who has raised concern and said, you know, if this guy's allowed to continue against my better judgment, I'm going to pull back my continued million support.
That could be the case. But the other likelihood is that student activism has reached such a screaming point of strength and forward motion that university administration is just kowtowing to it.
Wait a second. This is not Kent State, where students were murdered on campus in 1970.
I know.
And this is the elite of the elite. So what? They're crying in their blankets about someone who they feel is being what?
What? Right. They say that this husband and wife team has made Winthrop House unsafe for them.
Unsafe.
Now, keep in mind, the only thing that they have done to make the environment unsafe, it's not like they've been physically threatening. It's not like they've left the doors unlocked.
They're defending an unsavory character.
Yes.
That's exactly it.
Right. So Harvard had no problem when he was defending a terrorist or a murderer.
Right. But this is the cornerstone, one of the cornerstones of the American justice system.
Mm-hmm. And you would think if you were a Harvard student and maybe even, you know, headed to Harvard Law School, that you would recognize that, as you say, if we don't have an equality of representation, then we don't have anything in our justice system. We don't have anything.
This would have far-reaching implications, right?
Right. So Harvey Weinstein, they would say, is allowed an attorney, but not a good one. I mean, they would say, well, of course he's allowed representation. We just don't want our guy to defend him. What? So you want some, what, public defender to defend him? So he's allowed a lawyer, but he's allowed just a crappy one.
Because what he does somehow interferes with my life. What was the phrase that we used?
Trauma-inducing.
Trauma-inducing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, seriously, you're supposed to be an adult here as a student at Harvard, someone of the world, someone certainly, you know, who's got much more privilege and experience than the average person, than the average student at Slippery Rock or Carlo. So you would think that you'd be mature enough to handle this conversation and ascend beyond that.
Now, the good news is that the Harvard faculty has come together, and in a majority sentence,
I'm sure they feel the heat themselves.
Not every faculty member, but the majority of them signed a letter to the dean saying that they thought that this was a horrible idea.
Good, because, you know, who's next? If it's this guy, then as high profile as he is and his wife, then someone else is going to fall.
And what does it tell us about the level of understanding of the student body? And if you saw that reaction from the student body, you as dean, wouldn't you want to go to them and say, you know what, this is a perfect opportunity for us to explain how, of course, when anyone who is guilty is accused of a crime, whoever the victims are, find it very upsetting. But this is the process that we must go through.
Right. You deserve your day in court.
Right. And if you were accused of a crime and you were innocent, wouldn't you be glad that you were guaranteed representation, right? This is how it works, where whether we are the victim or we are the accused, we recognize that we get the same thing, right? We're all entitled to a defense. Wouldn't that be the perfect opportunity for the administration to say, okay, we need to have some discussion about fundamentals, and this is important, and this is why it's important. But instead of it turning into a teaching moment, it turns into a kowtowing moment.
So you would think that those students, as you know, they're done with their day or with their year of study here now, as the graduation season's upon us, at nighttime, they go, we did good. That was a good thing that we did for the American justice system and for Harvard University.
Well, yeah.
We've advocated fairness more so.
Okay, so this Danu Madunake, who's quoted, my honest reaction is just completely gobsmacked, but in the best way, she told the New York Times. I'm very proud today of our college and our college's administration for finally choosing to do the right thing. She described the atmosphere on campus as celebratory.
Well, you know what? Harvard's, they're cowards. That is pure and simple cowardice on their part, that they would acquiesce so quickly to something like that. It's a blow to American jurisprudence.
Yeah, and it's a blow to all of us who think that people who are between the ages of 18 and 22 really understand the foundations of American government.
Heaven help us. So I guess that's what it says. If you're going to spend what? How much does it cost?
$65,000 a year?
Then you may not be getting the quality education that you signed up for. Because it's politics, it's influence, it's money. Okay. Fort.
101.5 WORD.
Do you ride the Bible bus? Dr. J. Vernon McGee's incredible Bible bus through the Bible. It's a journey from the beginning to the end of the Bible, and you can say thanks for the smooth ride. It's letter month at Through the Bible, and they want to hear from you. Share your story of how the ride has changed your life. Don't miss the bus.
Drop a note of encouragement to Through the Bible Radio today. Go to wordfm.com/letter.
Since we started Energy Swing more than 20 years ago, we've always looked at this as a relationship business. Most other companies look at it as a transaction. You go out and sell windows and move on to the next person.
When buying windows and doors, Energy Swing believes in giving you the red carpet treatment.
Everybody in the company, all the way through, interacts with customers as they are building a relationship, like you would with a friend or family member, not a transaction. And over time, that relationship is developed into what we call a red carpet experience, which starts when you call us to make an appointment all the way through until the truck pulls out of your driveway and beyond. We will come out and take care of them. So that whole relationship experience we have, we've labeled the red carpet experience because that's the way we try to treat our customers. We treat our customers as friends and family, not as a dollar sign. And because of the way we do business, we think we are totally different than everybody else in the market.
Mention Word FM for an additional 5% off over and above any other discounts at EnergySwingWindows.com.
This is Jay Hagerman of Abernathy and Hagerman. Upon your passing, you wouldn't want a judge to decide who raises your children or how your estate gets divided. It is important to review your estate planning documents to ensure they protect what matters most. At Abernathy and Hagerman, we will work with you to establish an estate plan that nominates a guardian for your minor children and that your assets are used for your family's benefit. Judge for yourself. For legal help that lasts a lifetime, visit a-h.law.
I started out in public education, and I've been in education for almost 40 years now.
Jubilee Christian School Principal April Eisman.
Education is what I knew, and that was my passion. I loved it. But to see the need in society for even more than what we're doing in the churches, because if your children are involved in the church, they're still never more involved than a few hours a week. I want to give students more grounding, give them more of a spiritual foundation. I want to make a difference.
Jubilee Christian School Mount Lebanon, K through 6th grade. Imagine, believe, achieve at JubileeCS.org.
Things would happen in church that you weren't allowed to laugh.
Word FM presents
Funny Things Were Happening, and we had to pretend like it wasn't happening.
Ladies Night Out with writer, comedian, and playwright Sherry Lynn.
My sister got up and she mimed to a Yolanda Adams song, and it was beautiful.
It's a night out for the girls.
As she was miming and she was twirling, her wig came off.
June 21st at the Bible Chapel.
I have not seen the type of power or anointing that could make us forget your hairs on the floor.
Get early bird admission now through May 31st at wordfm.com.
This day in history, John.
This day. Today. Yeah, besides today, your birthday.
In addition to my birthday. The Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences had its first Academy Awards ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's exciting. That was in You know the year?
1929.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay.
So the very first Academy Awards, how long was the telecast?
There was not a telecast. It was actually not even much of anything. It wasn't even a luncheon. It was a 15-minute presentation.
No.
Yeah. They gathered together in a room. They, announced the winners, and that was that.
Did they make political speeches?
No, they did not.
Did they bring up vitriolic things against the president?
Nothing.
Okay.
Nothing was discussed.
I'm starting to believe.
It was just a light, very light celebration and acknowledgement of what people thought was the best movie of the year. Then the following year, they started to gather for, of all things, a luncheon. Let's have some lunch.
Sure.
And then we'll start to, give each other some statues. And then, of course, over the decades, it grew into what it is right now, which is, an ego fest debacle.
Wrong.
Thank you.
Where they say vitriolic things about the president.
Yes, they do. Yes, right. Yes. So what do you have here?
I printed out a full list of the best picture winners from the very first year in 1929 to this past year in 2019.
Nice.
And, I thought, since you're such a film buff, that I would ask you to just circle, just looking at the best picture winners, your favorites of the group. And then I'll give you mine, though mine don't matter as much because I'm not as much of a film buff as you.
Okay, do you want to go, you want to look at the last decades? You want to start there?
No, I think, you want to start recent and go back?
Yeah, I think so, because we're recent.
Let's do it.
Okay, so in the, since 2001, from 2001 to 2019.
Okay, your favorites.
My favorites. 2002, A Beautiful Mind.
Okay.
That's a good. Have you seen it?
No.
Oh, it's a fabulous film. 2008, No Country for Old Men. A terrifying film.
So well done.
Love it. 2009, Slumdog Millionaire. Mm. It's very interesting. Have you seen it?
Mm-hmm.
I loved it.
Yeah.
2011, The King's Speech.
I still haven't seen that.
Oh, that's excellent. Now, I'm going to come up here to something which you love. And you told me you were going to go out and buy it. 2013, Argo.
Oh, my gosh. I love that film.
Really?
Oh, when I finished
Ben Affleck.
I thought to myself, how is this a true story? And I never knew about this.
Now, you saw this on a flight.
Yeah, I watched it on an airplane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great story.
It's a terrific story.
The Iranian Revolution.
And as much as I'm not a fan of his, I just thought he did a great job with the film.
Yeah.
Let me also say 2004.
2004?
The Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
Return of the King. I mean, that's top three favorite of all time.
Really? Really?
Oh, yeah.
Top three favorite films of all time?
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Really? Wow.
Easily.
How about 2014, 12 Years a Slave?
Never saw it.
That's an excellent film. 2015, Birdman? Oh, I love that
too. Michael Keaton.
Yeah. Very good film.
All right. Let's go back further.
Okay. Go back. Well, how far do you want to go back?
Well, I'll go back to 93 and say Unforgiven.
1993.
Clint Eastwood.
Yeah. I could have cared less.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a gripping Western. It's a dark, emotional. It's so much pathos.
I was super excited.
Make my day.
No, that's not it.
No, it's the same guy.
Yeah. I was super excited to see this. I remember that very clearly. I went with three other guys from work, and I made us popcorn.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And I was unmoved by Unforgiven.
It's sad.
Yeah. How about The English Patient? 1997.
Okay, see, now that's a movie that's a romance, and I get that that is not best picture to me.
Really?
No. Did you love that?
I liked it an awful lot.
Okay, I didn't love it.
Shakespeare in Love?
Again, interesting film. I didn't see that was so gripping that it had to be, had to win the Oscar.
1994, Schindler's List. Don't tell me.
I've never seen it.
Calf.
I know. I'm a lesser person for it.
I think it's streaming on Netflix right now.
I should watch it. There's no question.
With your kids.
Yeah, I agree.
It's 1995, Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great film.
Yeah.
Yeah. 1996, I know a lot of guys love this movie, Braveheart.
Oh, that's not.
I kind of go meh.
I was meh on that.
A lot of guys love that.
I was meh on that.
Yeah, that's,
No.
That's Mel Gibson.
No, that's you know what that is? Too much.
That's a way. To me, Mel Gibson is way overrated as a filmmaker. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's like blood and gore and violence. Big deal. Okay. How about 1998?
Is
that
Braveheart?
See, there it is. Yeah, it's Braveheart. Please. How about 1998 Titanic?
Okay. Nah. Seeing it was the first time, just as far as the thing going
the
down.
Visuals? Oh, yeah.
But I never, once I left that theater, I thought I never need to see that again.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's kind of cheesy. Okay, let's go back to the 90s. I'm sorry, to the 80s.
All right, how about Chariots of Fire, 1982?
Oh, that's excellent. Oh, that's excellent.
I mean, it is so simply done.
Yeah.
I really loved it.
How about Gandhi?
I like Gandhi. Yes.
Me too.
Ben Kingsley.
Mm-hmm, yeah. 1985, Amadeus.
Wow. That was a great period piece.
That's a wonderful movie.
There was a lot jammed into that.
Uh-huh. Best picture in 1986, Out of Africa. I love that movie.
Did you?
I cried.
Did you?
I could watch. It's one of those films, if I see it on TV, I'll sit down and watch it.
Really?
It's so beautiful.
Maybe I should watch that again. Oh. I think I was sleepy.
Oh, man. I love
it. I don't remember a lot. I have that in The English Patient.
What?
Slightly put together in my head.
No. Meryl Streep and Robert Redford
okay. In
Africa. Oh, that's a beautiful film. Yeah, I love it.
Right.
Okay, well, Mike's telling us we have to go.
I can't wait to get into the 70s. That was a really good decade for movies.
Oh, it sure is. Okay, stick around. We're just quickly looking at best pictures throughout the decades. We've got a few minutes left. It's The Ride Home with John and Kathy here on Word FM and WPIT Radio.
Hi, this is Tud Shulkin. Join me and head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Mike Tomlin, Steelers players Vance McDonald and Stephon Tuitt, and pastors Brian Loritz and Ed Glover for Man Up Pittsburgh on Saturday, June 8th at Victory Family Church in Cranberry. Man Up is a day for all men to work on becoming the best godly leaders they can be. There will be free food, fellowship, worship, powerful messages, and dynamic breakout sessions. From high schoolers to grandfathers, this is for you. Register today at manuppittsburgh.org. Hosted by Urban Impact and brought to you locally by Chick-fil-A of Pittsburgh.
Hey, it's John Hall. So a while back, the folks at MyPillow said, "Hey, John, can you try out a MyPillow and let us know what you think?" I was skeptical. I mean, it's a pillow. But what did I have to lose, right? I'll tell you what I lost. Interrupted sleep. No more folding the pillow in half. No more flat, lifeless pillows. It changed my life. So I'm letting you know, you need MyPillow. Well, not my actual pillow, but your own MyPillow. It stays cool all night long. No more waking up at 3 a.m. to flip to the cool side of the pillow. It keeps its shape. No more reshaping your pillow in the middle of the night. It comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. Try it. Don't like it? Return it. My pillow comes with a 10-year warranty. Do you have a pillow that comes with a 10-year warranty? You can toss a My Pillow into your washer and dryer. It's like new again. Get a 2-pack of My Pillow's premiums for $69.98. That's only $34.99 per pillow, the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. This offer is only available at MyPillow.com or call 800-391-0954. Use promo code WORD.
She has a calming spirit. You can tell she's a genuine person and actually cares.
Exceptional dentistry meets compassionate care with Dr. Megan Stock.
She was just friendly and nice, and her office staff is actually just as welcome. And you can tell that they all are really on the same page and they want to help people. And even my family members, like my mom goes to her and she's always been terrified of dentists and she just raves about Dr. Megan.
Stock Family Dentistry on Perry Highway in Wexford at StockFamilyDentistry.com.
It's easier to change the world than you think. Sponsor a child in extreme poverty with Compassion International and you will change the world for that child. Just text the word CHILD to 83393 to sponsor right now.
Most clubs you join require an initiation fee or a club membership, but not the Word FM Discount Shopping Club. No, in our club, you save as much as half. That's right, 50% on gift certificates and items from local restaurants, health services, and much more. All from the comfort of your computer or smartphone. Log on now to wordfm.com/shopping, and I'll see you at the club. Thank you.
Listen to your favorite Christian programs anytime on the One Place app. Download and listen offline. Stream to your car or automated home device. Download One Place at Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Oh, we're getting some backlash on Braveheart.
People are upset about Braveheart.
Braveheart? Seriously?
Listen, I didn't... Look, I just...
You know what? That's like a low-T movie.
No, yeah. It's not.
Seriously, it is. It is. It's for guys who wish they had high T who are currently suffering through low T.
No, it's not.
Get a grip, my friends.
Oh,
please.
God. All right. Movie. All right. Speaking of high T,
yeah.
In the 70s, we have in 1973 and 75,
yeah.
The Godfather.
Oh, The Godfather.
I'm
going to
make an offer again with you.
It's good.
I love those
films. One of the greatest films of all time.
Oh, my gosh.
1, 2, 3.
Oh.
Did you ever see the Godfather 1, 2, 3 all together as one grouping?
I never have.
It's been cut like that, you know, where it's one, it's like 12 hours long.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
a
yeah.
seamless thing. They weave it all together. It's
well,
really
one
fabulous.
And two are so epic, and three is just nowhere near as good of a film. Nowhere near
but
as good
But you needed
of,
three.
Yeah, you needed three. But Sofia Coppola as his daughter was so horrible.
Yeah, she was. Yeah.
It was really terrible. Anyway, but I love that. It's what about One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest?
Loved it.
Which is a terrible, upsetting movie, but it is so
oh,
well
it's a great
done.
Movie.
You never forget it.
I mean, Nicholson's outstanding,
oh,
that ensemble cast,
so
Danny
good.
DeVito and
so,
all those guys.
So, so good.
Yeah. How about Rocky in 77?
It was fine.
That's a great movie.
See, I don't think it's a great movie.
No, that's a great movie.
I don't think it's that
I mean, it's raw, it's simple, it's really well-done storytelling.
It's a revolutionary movie.
Yeah, you're right about that. It is. I mean, Stallone, he broke the mold. I loved it.
Okay, I like The French Connection, which was 1972, way more than Rocky.
Well,
way
you can't
more.
Compare. It's apples to oranges.
Oh, no.
No.
It's gritty.
The French Connection, yeah.
You got the chase scene.
Popeye Doyle.
You have the drug problem. Mm-hmm. You have Gene Hackman at his absolute peak.
Yeah,
no, I take
fabulous.
The French Connection over Rocky.
Okay. How about The Deer Hunter?
Never saw it.
Oh, come on. That thing crushes. And it's got Western Pennsylvania roots. De Niro? Oh, man. Yeah, it's fabulous.
All right, how about 1966? Now we're talking.
Sound of Music.
That's right.
Okay, that's fine.
The Hills Are Alive.
How about 65, My Fair Lady?
There was never a more beautiful woman on screen than Audrey Hepburn in My Fair Lady.
64, Tom Jones. So there's all of a sudden these like musicals that made the grade in the 60s. Anyway, those are the best films. We're just taking a quick snapshot.
The Ride Home with John and Kathy, a production of Salem Media Group.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.